Well, first of all, it is really good to be here after being away for 3 months. One of the things that I did during my renewal is spend time at what Tim and I affectionately call the farm, which is 40 acres in rural Grundy County that we have owned since before we came here, where we have a forest and prairie restoration, a pasture, and a home. Now, 40 acres may not seem like much if you're a farmer, but I will tell you there are a lot of weeds on 40 acres. And one day, while I was out there, I decided to take the weed whacker and tackle the weeds around the house. And I don't know if you've operated a weed whacker, anybody? Some of you maybe. Well, anyway, it is power in your hands. I started around the front porch and kept finding more and more weeds. I mean, with every, you know, every step, there's more weeds, and then more, and then around the corner, and there's more, and I couldn't stop myself. I just kept going until my arms were just noodles. If you've operated, they're very heavy equipment. Anyway, it was very satisfying. I kept going because what was I doing? I was creating order out of chaos. Whew. It was so satisfying and so, you know, the power, the control, the sense of things being in better order for my labor. It was visible. Unlike ministry sometimes, you can't even see necessarily the fruit of your labor. Also, during my sabbatical, we came back to Ames on several occasions, and I remember in May once coming and seeing how many Ames residents were observing the no-mow May. You know what I'm saying? It's a hard phrase, no-mow May. But some places looked a lot like the areas that I tamed with my weed whacker at the farm. But I also noticed something else. Not everyone thought no mow May was a good idea. Did you encounter some, maybe, of both kinds of people? And in fact, some people were quite disturbed by it, especially if their adjacent neighbors were observing it. I warned you, scripture today was controversial. I imagine there are some among us today who don't mind the weeds, and others who really do. So what's your feeling about weeds these days? Actually, I think I heard somebody say as one of their worries, weeds, right? You were probably anticipating what I was going to say. Well, don't worry, whichever your stance. I'm not here today to tell you that Jesus has settled the issue about weeds and lawns in Ames, Iowa in 2023. In today's scripture, Jesus tells a parable. Parables are not to be taken literally. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in their field. But then someone else came and sowed weeds. And the workers of that household, they come and they say, well, should we take the weeds out? Some of us would say, of course you should take the weeds out. And others have, oh, no, no, no. But the owner said, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. Let the weeds grow among the wheat, or the wheat grow among the weeds. It will get sorted out in the end. I love the color yellow. Deep, bright, brilliant, shining like the sun, yellow. It's not a color I necessarily wear on my person, but anytime I see yellow, I light up. It's like it brightens my mood and lightens my step. That has been true for me as long as I can remember. You can ask my mom. She used to call me Little Mary Sunshine. As a girl growing up in Iowa, I loved to be outside in my backyard, in the park, playing on the school ground. And I loved in the, because wherever you went, when I was a kid anyway, wherever I went in the spring and summer, I just loved seeing the bright, wonderful flowers, the yellow flowers that were just plentiful and everywhere. You know of what I speak, right? Dandelions. The best. I would lay down in the grass and behold their beauty and wonder. I would make dandelion chains. Anybody done that? Remember that, anybody? Yep, a lot of nods. I made chains and wore them around my neck and gave them to my friends. And when they went to seed, you remember? You pick them up and you blow those fluffy billows all over the place. Does that make anybody's skin crawl right now? Yeah. Oh. When I was a child, I saw those dandelions as beautiful yellow flowers, part of my outdoor play world, part of my artistic toolbox. And now as an adult, I'm invigorated by the power of the weed whacker to control the chaos of those plants growing where I do not want them to grow. And you know the difference between weeds and plants, right? A weed is essentially a plant growing where you don't want it to. My child self saw the beauty and wonder of dandelions. My adult self sees a plant that doesn't belong in my yard. And maybe that's why Jesus says, unless you change and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know. Another case for dandelions. You didn't think you were going to come and hear a case for dandelions today, but here it is. In the realm of herbs, if any of you ever study like the properties of herbs, I see somebody raising their hand. Do you have dandelion tea in there? You have nettle tea, see? That's right. So these plants, which you think are weeds, produce all kinds of good stuff. So as far as nettles are really good too. In the realm of herbs, dandelions and nettles are considered great. They are the leaves are nutrient dense greens. You can make a salad out of them. They're full of vitamin C and K1, potassium, magnesium, and beta carotene. They help aid digestion. They have diuretic properties. The roots, and I have dandelion root in my kitchen, support liver function and digestion, and the list of properties goes on. All this from a weed that we try to eliminate from our yards. So why, you ask, am I defending dandelions? Well, because I think they illustrate the problem with thinking it is so clear what is a weed and what is not. My mom frequently uses the expression, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Anybody else ever, mom ever say that? Maybe that's part of Jesus' message in this parable. Don't focus on getting rid of the weeds. Just be the best, most healthy wheat you can be. He was talking about life in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And even though there is talk of burning the weeds and seed is from the devil, it is clear that the job of those tending to the seeds and to the plants is not judging which plants are good and which plants are not, which one we harvest and which one are the weeds. That will all get sorted out at the harvest. Can I say that actually is good news? It's not your job. It's not my job. It's not Pastor Fred's job. And it's certainly not Sonny's job to weed. I'm not talking about your personal gardens now, so, you know, don't get. At least it's not our job to weed as it pertains to God's kingdom. It is not our job to try to identify and root out, eliminate the plants we deem to be weeds. It's not our job to say, you're in, you're out. It will get sorted without you. It will get sorted, just not by us. For you see, when we try to control that, and you know, confess when we do, when we try to control that, when we try to eliminate the weeds, we get caught in a spiral of assuming we are the wheat. We're always the wheat. We're the good ones, the righteous ones, the superior ones. Yay, us! And others, those who we don't appreciate or like, they are the bad ones, the unrighteous ones, the inferior ones. And entering that territory doesn't just hurt them, it compromises us. It compromises our faith in God. It tears our soul and keeps us from trusting in God's power, God's love and grace and mystery. And quite frankly, we shouldn't be in control of that or think we can. And when we try, we really mess up. My renewal journey began in April. My husband Tim and I drove through the South, through Missouri, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Louisiana, following parts of the National Civil Rights Trail. One of our first stops along the way was Greenwood, Mississippi. Over 50 years ago, Tim, when he was a boy, he went with his father and the local Methodist minister and a couple of other kids as they drove hogs from Grundy County down to Carroll County, Mississippi, to deliver them to black farmers as kind of a, in the spirit of Heifer Project. The farmers who received the hogs would share some of their offspring with their neighbors, who would then share some of their offspring with their neighbors, and then the whole community would be uplifted economically as their farms became more productive. Well, while Tim was down there, he stayed with one of the families on their farm, one that received the hogs. And since we were traveling south, we decided, why not try to meet up with them 50 plus years later? And so Tim contacted a couple of the kids that are in a picture with him from that era, and they welcomed us into their home. They treated us like family. They fed us. They were so gracious. And as we settled into the evening in the living room, we heard from these children about how it was to be the first three black children integrated into an all-white school. Now, none of us here can probably imagine that in the 1960s. But according to too many, these beautiful, gracious, loving children of God were considered weeds that didn't belong in that school. And each day they showed up, brave little children that they were, although their dad didn't give them a choice, I gotta tell you. He was very much trying to promote equality. And they faced, those little children, threats, bullying, all kinds of torment on behalf of equality. You see, taking up the task of weeding is a dangerous thing when it comes to people. If you think it's your job to separate the wheat from the weeds, it does something to you, and it's not good. You start to feel all self-righteous. pointing your finger out there. And then your compassion goes. And then you can justify violence against those you consider weeds. History is littered with terrible examples of what happens when people think it's their job to weed out those who they deem do not belong or are in the wrong place. And I'm sorry to say that this is still happening in our world today, and too often it is happening under the guise of Christian faith. And then we wonder why people are leaving church. I get a weekly email reflection each Sunday morning. I did already have my sermon written, though, so don't think I just wrote it this morning. And in that one this morning, Diana Butler Bass shared a statistic. She talked about how the earth is heating up while belief in God is cooling down. She writes, "Since long before I was born, American belief in God has been well over 90%. And now that number is 74%. Maybe that's because in society, that's because in society, Christianity has become synonymous with judging and casting out what some loud Christians consider to be weeds and demanding freedom for themselves at the expense of others, instead of shining like the sun on God's goodness and grace and mercy and mystery." And maybe that is what was happening in Jesus' day and that to which he speaks. So Jesus tells this parable. Weed seed is sown among the wheat seed. And when asked if the weeds should be eliminated from the field, the master says no. No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. Let the weeds grow among the wheat. It will get sorted out in the end. It is not for you or I to decide or to divide. Remember, Jesus himself was at home with those who were considered weeds in his day. He got in trouble for eating with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. He mingled with the sick and the unclean. He let the children come to him and bless them. He talked about little tiny mustard seeds, which were considered weeds, that grow to be the biggest bush, providing shade and a place for birds to rest. And he said that God makes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on good and bad alike. That's good news. That's good news for us. It should be good news for all. It is not our job to judge who are the weeds and who is the wheat. That's the temptation that comes from the powers that work against the big, grace-filled, loving, second chances, God's eye view of God's beloved children, some who behave as children of God, and some who, quite frankly, have rejected God's own love and compassion, even as they proclaim they represent it. When we pledge our allegiance to God's reign and God's way, we can work on being wheat among the weeds without needing to label everyone else. We can trust God to sort it out later because God's loving power and grace continues to work on in and through people. Who are we to give up on them? The first two words of my sermon title are On Being. If that sounds familiar, it's because it's the name of a radio show, an NPR radio show with Krista Tippett. And the show's description is on the website. It says, "The On Being Project is a media and social healing organization. Our mission is to pursue deep thinking, moral imagination, social courage, and joy to renew inner life, outer life, and life together." That sounds like a pretty worthy endeavor. Likewise, On Being Wheat Among Weeds is about healing and a moral imagination. It's about social courage and joy. It's about faith in God and about living a good life, a God life, and under the influence of Jesus' life, among the chaos of uncertainty and frustrating people we'd just as soon dismiss as weeds. Thank God we don't have to sort it all out. Just allow that life to bear, your life to bear fruit of good seed. Shine like the sun, and God will do the rest. Amen.